Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Pastor Danny, and you are listening to a message from a great series titled Forgiveness. We are going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the main things about being a Christian. Forgiveness is something that is so important, and we are going to look at that today. So let's just get right into it. We're going to look at some scripture, and we're going to believe for God to make forgiveness real to us today. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I'm going to read it one more time in a different version. It might make it a little more real to you. It says, "My soul praise the Lord. Every part of me praise his holy name. My soul praise the Lord and never forget how kind he is. He forgives all our sins and heals all our sicknesses. He saves us from the grave. He gives us love and compassion. He gives us plenty of good things. He makes us young again like an eagle that grows new feathers." All right. The Lord wants to forgive people. This is something you need to know about the God we serve. He is not a big, mean God up there somewhere with a big club waiting for you to make a mistake so he can hit you. He is a God, it says, of love, and he wants to forgive you. He wants more than anything to see people come and receive the forgiveness that he has made available. When we talk about forgiveness, there's a few things that come to mind that I want to bring out that will help you truly understand the kind of forgiveness God gives. Okay? Forgiveness, the initial definition when you think of forgiveness is that you owed a debt or you had to pay a fine and somebody else pays it, your debt is forgiven. Okay, that's an initial idea of forgiveness. Possibly, let me give you an example. Let's say somebody was driving really, really fast and they had a $240 speeding ticket. And when they go to the court, they realize they're going to have to pay this, but they don't have the money, and somebody else pays for their ticket. All right, they've been forgiven. They no longer have to pay the debt. Somebody else does. So most of us get that point of forgiveness, and if you're a Christian, you ask Christ to forgive your sins, you get that you no longer have to pay the debt. But God's forgiveness goes deeper than that. God's forgiveness is a little bit more than that. When God brings forgiveness, there's some things you need to understand. When he forgives sin, according to Scripture, he also removes sin. Look with me again at Psalm 103, but verse 12. And it says, "He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." Did you catch that? So his forgiveness not only deals with the payment, but he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 1:18 says this: "Come, now let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool." John chapter 1 and verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And Micah 7 and 19. "Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean." So God forgives the payment, the penalty, but he also desires to take it away. He doesn't want to leave us in our sin. to continue to struggle and fight with it. He takes it away. His forgiveness is amazing. His forgiveness transforms us. If we go back to an example of what we see as forgiveness, I'm going to say this one. Let's say you're a teenager and you're learning things and you go into a store and you steal something and you get caught. Okay, let's say you stole something really big like a TV. Well, that'd be pretty hard. Okay, but you tried and it didn't work. That's why you got caught. You tried to steal a 50-inch TV, walk out the front door. You get caught, okay? You now are going to have to pay a penalty for what happened. Okay, but forgiveness, someone comes, they say, you know what, I'm going to pay your fine for you. You're forgiven. However, for us as humans, that is about as far as it would go, but yet that young man would still be looked at as a thief, wouldn't he? Everybody in the store, every time they saw him come in, just because someone paid his fine and forgave him, they'd be like, here comes the thief, keep an eye on him. You know, and people would follow him around the store or use the cameras if it has cameras. The label would be there, but Christ takes the label away from us. We are no more called sinners. Maybe you've heard messages where people come, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm a terrible sinner, but God is merciful. No, you're not. Christ takes the sin away. He forgives you. He now makes you a child of the King. And he says he gives you his righteousness. You're no longer a terrible sinner. You're someone who is righteous in his eyes. This is important. Because the forgiveness that he brings is life transforming. So he pays the debt, he takes away the sin, and also, according to Scripture, he does not remember it. Isaiah 43 and 25 says this, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hebrews 10, 17 to 18. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. I want to make something clear. You need to understand in the Old Testament, when they committed sin, they would need to bring a sacrifice or an animal that would shed blood, and that would cover their sin, but it could never take it away. It could only cover it. And so, in our New Testament time, those who were Jews who had practiced this, they only understood covering sin, not taking it away. And a sacrifice would have to be made again and again and again. But according to Scripture, when Christ paid the price, he paid it once and for all. Not only to cover it, but to take it away. Forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness Christ gives to us, is also the kind of forgiveness that he asks us to give to others. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Before I do, I want to read you a story of forgiveness. This is a story out of the book called The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom's book, and it is a picture of forgiveness that I think we need to hear. Corrie Ten Boom, if you don't know this story, her family hid Jews during World War II in Holland, but they were caught and taken to a prison camp. And so here's the story. This is after their prison camp time, a couple years after, and she speaks in different churches. So just listen. It says, it was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with a skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking past this man naked. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, his hand thrust out. He said, "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." It was the first time since my release that I'd been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for all the cruel things I did there, but I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein." Again, the hand came out, "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. "If you do not forgive men their trespasses," Jesus says, "neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then the healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prison. I had never known God so intensely as I did right then. Forgiveness. It may not always be easy, but forgiveness is a must. Forgiveness is not a choice or a, "Well, if I feel like it," or "when I feel like it." Forgiveness is a must. For you and I, forgiveness through Christ allows us to have a new life, allows us to be in God's kingdom, but also forgiveness is a must from us to others, according to God's word. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, we read this. It says, "Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And Jesus says, "Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you." And Mark 11, 25 and 26 says this, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." This is not a suggestion. This is not a theory or a doctrine. This is Christ's words to you and I. We must forgive others. When we read Mark 11 and 25, he's talking to a group of people who pray regularly a certain number of times a day. They stand and pray, or they kneel and pray. In other words, he is telling them, search your heart every time you pray. Multiple times a day, check your heart and see if there's anybody you need to forgive. This is important. I want you to get this, because Christ said it's so important that if you don't, he doesn't forgive you. Matthew 18 and verse 21 to 35, you can read the whole portion this week or later today if you like. This is the story of Peter coming to Jesus and saying, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I do it like seven times? And Jesus says, you know what? I would say you do it 70 times seven times. In other words, he picked a number that would be impossible to reach, because he was saying clearly, you never stop forgiving. There is no limit to how much you should forgive. Is that clear? There is no limit to how much you should forgive. And then Jesus tells him a parable, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. He said, there was a master who had servants, and he decided to bring them before him to see how much they owed, and so that they could settle their debts. And he brought the first servant to him, and it said that first servant owed him a large, large sum of money, in our day and age, possibly millions of dollars. And the servant begged him and said, I don't have the money. That master was compassionate and said, you know what? I'm forgiving you of the debt. In other words, you don't owe anything anymore. It's done. The servant went away, and you would think he would be thankful and understanding, but not too long after, he met a servant who owed him maybe $100 or a couple hundred dollars. You know what he did? He got angry at him. He said, you're going to pay me now. If you don't, you're going to jail. And he sent this other servant who owed very little to jail and made sure that he was punished for what he'd done. The master heard about it, brought the first servant back and said, what have you done? I had compassion on you. You didn't have compassion on them. You also now will be punished. Jesus was telling you and I, hey, I have done amazing things of forgiveness for you. I have wiped your slate clean. Can you not forgive those around you? He wants us to forgive, and he wants us to forgive quickly and regularly. I know for some that this is maybe not easy, but it is a must. For some, this might think like, why should I? It's a must. God asks us to forgive not only for that person, but for us. When we refuse to forgive, it allows us to be connected to the hurt and the pain over and over. I like to say it this way. You can choose to forgive, or you can allow that hurt to continue to live. When you forgive, you cut it off from you and them, and it can no longer hurt you again. When you live in unforgiveness, you replay it daily, and the same way you hurt and felt when somebody wronged you, you feel it again and again and again and again. But when you forgive, you no longer feel it, because it's no longer in your hands. It's no longer connected to you, because you said, I forgive. I am not going to be the judge. I am not going to bring punishment on you. I forgive. Scripture tells us clearly that vengeance belongs to God, not you and I. Do you know what? He knows how to deal with the people who've hurt you. You don't need to. And his dealing in love will try to transform them, not destroy them. We must forgive. People who live in unforgiveness become bitter and angry. Did you know that an angry person, I believe, almost every time if you go back into their life somewhere, they were deeply hurt and they have not forgiven. Now you may say, well, it's the other person's fault that hurt them, that's why they're an angry person. No, they are an angry person because they have not forgiven. And they are now allowing somebody else to control their life because they won't forgive. They live in anger, they live in bitterness, they hurt other people, they fight, they quarrel. And in their mind, it's that person's fault. But it is no longer that person's fault. They don't live with you. They aren't there. It's your fault because you won't forgive. And you're letting it play over and over and over again. Why would you choose to give the power of your life to somebody who hurts you? By not forgiving, that's what you do. You choose to give that person power over you for the rest of your life. Don't do it. Forgive. Forgive. Now let me make this clear. I'm not saying that anybody should continue living in abuse or should continue living where they're being hurt or misused. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness doesn't say the person's right. Forgiveness doesn't say keep hurting me. Okay? Please don't misunderstand the message of forgiveness. If you're in an abusive situation or you're being hurt, you get help. And when you get help, you don't allow the person to continue hurting you, but you still have to forgive if you want to move forward, or it will destroy you. So please hear the message clearly. There are times that I've seen and heard where people hold on forgiveness. It's affecting their every breath. It's affecting their job situation. They can't understand, how come I keep getting let go? Well, when the anger overtakes you and you start wrecking equipment, they're going to let you go. When the anger overtakes you and you harass other employees, they're going to let you go. The issue is not the employer. The issue is your heart. You've got to forgive. If you want to live the way Christ wants you to live, you must forgive. If you want the love and the joy to come out of you, you must forgive. I'm going to say it again. Forgiving does not mean the person was right. Forgiving means you will not allow it to control the rest of your life ever again. I forgive. I put it in God's hand. And God will deal. Jesus, of course, is the answer for all of sin. Jesus is the one who provides forgiveness. They sang it in one of the songs beautifully, how Christ is the one who forgives. He came and he died on that cross. He shed his blood that each and every one of us could just come and say, please forgive me, and he would wipe away our sin. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, we read, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Colossians 1 verse 13, we read, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. True forgiveness comes through Christ. And 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Christ made the way for true forgiveness to happen. When I'm bringing this message and telling you need to forgive others, you don't need to do it in your own strength. You don't need to do it in your own power. Christ made it available to you, and he also can give you the strength to forgive others. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, I can't, I won't, you need to ask him to bring it and to pour it through you. And if I can again help you understand, you're allowing it yourself to be released from what happened by forgiving.